Welcome to A Voice of a People live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My name is Linda Sims and the name of the show is called A Voice of a People. Welcome once again. Go vote if you haven't voted. Go vote if you haven't voted. Go vote if you haven't voted. Go vote. Early vote at your local voting center. Okay, now, let me say this. There are 65 days left in the year of 2021. And each passing day, it just blows my mind how fast the days go by. October's almost over. I think it's over. Sunday's the last day, Halloween trick-or-treat. I think that will be observed Saturday. Usually start at 5 p.m. to 7 in your local neighborhoods. Just be careful. Be safe. Make sure your children are safe. Make sure you are with them. And teach them not to get in the cars with strangers, no matter how tempting it may be. Now, let me share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there, 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Address, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, Free Produce, which takes place every third Saturday of every month. This will take place November the 20th. So mark your calendars. Share if you have no need of this, please share with other people who may have need of this. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. We also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner is Cheryl Lee. The location is LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. If you need someone to inspect a home that you're buying or a home that you're trying to sell, remember Inspect Ohio, LLC, out of LaRue, Ohio. Okay? Now, I like to start my show off with a thought for today. And before I do that, let me also share this with you. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And you can download an app called TuneIn. This app is free. And you can download it on any electronic device. And once you do that, please search WWGH. Any other day than today, which my guests will be calling in, and I will not be able to answer your calls, but any other day, which you can make note of this number, 740-383-9944. A lot of people come and say, well, I don't know the number. So just write it down and put WWGH. Phone number, you can call right into the station. That number again is 740-383-9944. And let me get back to my thought for today. And this is the title, Life is Nurtured by Attitude. And it goes like this. When you extend pure love to everyone with selfless motivation, that is an attitude of kindness. When you send good wishes and pure feelings to those who are in deep sorrow, that is an attitude of mercy. When you see the virtues rather than the weaknesses in people, that is an attitude of compassion. When you bless and uplift someone even as they defame you, that is an attitude of forgiveness. When you tolerate a situation and take responsibility, as well as give cooperation, even when not appreciated, that is an attitude of humility and self-respect. I'm going to read that one again. When you tolerate a situation and take responsibility as well as give cooperation, even when not appreciated, that is an attitude of humility and self-respect. Every second, every moment, and every breath of your life is nurtured by attitude. I was just talking to my daughter earlier today, and I was trying to express this to her. Because sometimes, you know, we just get fed up and we get irritated. Sometimes it's the way we perceive the way people treat us or have treated us. We're not really even sure, but sometimes we can just shoot off top of our heads and in anger and frustration and just speak out against people and hurt their feelings and things like that. No matter who and no matter what, treat them with love, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. It is that God has loved us. It's not that we have loved him. We don't even know what love is. But someone who would leave their holy habitation and come to this wicked earth and die for the sin of the world, the sin that is bestowed on every human being that comes forth from a woman's womb into this world, is born in sin. But he that is perfect, he that is righteous, he that is holy, left his holy habitation and died for the sin of the world. He had to love you. He had to love me. I thank God for loving me. I thank him for loving me. I thank him for teaching me how to love other people and to humble myself before the mighty hand of God. And not to think more highly of myself than I ought to. I'm just trying to learn how to be me. And I think we all need to accept me or you and meet other people at the point of their need, whether you want to or not, but do it compassionately and not half-heartedly. You know, make a person feel like you really care. You're really concerned. And that you're willing to help in any way that you can. Encourage, uplift, support. Do you know how important that is? And you do when you need someone to stand up for you and to support you and encourage you. We understand how important it is then. But shouldn't we know how important it is for others that need us? That need that word of encouragement, condolences, and little hearts, you know, given to them and sent to them, or, you know, I really appreciate you. Just little things like that, you know, and what you do. You know, I appreciate your ministry. I appreciate how you go out of your way to support women, to support men, to support children, boys and girls, in the wicked world we live in. I mean, and that's just real talk. I'm not saying there's no good, because where there's good, there's bad. And we understand there is good and evil, and we all know the difference. But God said the first two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And, you know, put no other gods before him. Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say like them. He said love them with the kind of love that Christ has for his people. And the only way you're going to know that is if you receive his love for you. And in his love, the sacrifice that he made, that you might be saved. that you might enter heaven one day, or that blessed hope that most Christians have, and sinners too, that have not repented and maybe have no intention of repenting, but some people feel that everybody's going to heaven. I don't know how true that is, but I don't want to gamble. I just don't want to gamble because it's just too important to me. I don't want to be out here thinking I'm going and I'm not going and I'm just doing life any kind of way. And no, I don't want to go like that. And I don't want to be like that. I want to love other people. And I want to be loved from the one that it really matters. And that's Christ Himself. Hopefully you enjoyed the thought for today. It was really heartfelt, and I wanted to share it with everyone. Life is nurtured by attitude, and that is so true. My guest that will be calling in a minute or so, Brad DeCamp. He is the executive director of the Adam H. Board, Crawford and Marion Counties. He's been very, very busy since he accepted this position. And he's calling right now. Caller, you are on the air. Is this Brad DeCamp?
Hi, Linda. It's Brad.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Enjoying this chilled weather. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, really chill, apparently. So, yeah, who knew?
Can't keep up with the weather, right?
Yeah, that's all we can do is our best and leave the weather up to other forces.
Oh yeah, they do their job.
Absolutely.
So how have you been?
Well, I've been okay. My father passed away on October 9th. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Been having a hard time getting back into things, but trying to come in slowly.
My condolences to you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. We lost somebody close in our family Sunday morning. 41-year-old girl.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Don't even know what happened.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and you know, people are leaving here, Brad, for sure.
Yeah, they are for sure. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. So how's the Adam H. Board?
We're doing okay. We're continuing to work on a lot of different things and trying to kind of help the community where we can. So we're out doing a good bit of stuff and can talk about that whenever we're ready.
Okay. I know last time we talked, you were doing quite a few different things, and you have really excelled since you accepted this position at the Adam H. Board. I mean, you're Marion County, Crawford County, and I think you also do some work with the Children's Home here in Marion, and you're with the mental health, and it's just so many things that you're doing, and it's a good thing that you are. We're really fortunate to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really fortunate. So, I think we also talked about the drug abuse and the overdoses.
Yes.
Is COVID still having an impact on that?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. We are seeing that for sure. And I think, 2020 was really a terrible year. And we... I can't say that things are a lot better. They're marginally better in 2021, but I think it's going to be another tough year when we get to the end of the year and kind of look back and see what's happening. But a lot of it is being driven by fentanyl, which is adulterating the drug supply. And so even though people are using different substances, it's still being tampered with. The presence of fentanyl, and that's causing a lot of death and destruction.
It's just so sad.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I think you know, we've got a lot of new agencies, and so I think part of our task in the coming months and years is to try to figure out how we can get everybody to be coordinated and work together so that we can, you know, provide good service and make sure that we're helping the largest amount of people that we can.
Yeah, and I remember one of the conversations we had in the past, and I was asking you about drug abuse, and were we winning the war on drugs? And you said, well, I think it's just here to stay. And how true is that statement?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of challenges, and like you touched on earlier, COVID has not been a help with that at all. It's created, you know, more isolation in a lot of cases, and made it harder for people to get help that needed it.
So what about the, you have a suicide hotline also?
Yeah, we do. We actually have a couple of things that we're trying to get going. One of the things that we're partnering with our neighbors to the east, the Delaware Morrow Board, that we are going to work with a group called Cornerstone of Hope. They're out of the Cleveland area, but their specialization is helping groups start overdose support. Suicide support to individuals, family members who've lost a loved one to suicide. And, you know, obviously we want to do what we can to prevent that from happening in the first place, but we also want to be there for the families who do experience that loss. And so we're going to be starting that process very soon, and hope to have a team in both Crawford and Marion counties here in short order. So it'll take a little bit of time, but that's one of the things we're looking forward to help have more support for families.
That's good. At least you're working with the current, you know, and not against it.
We also do a lot of suicide prevention training. We have a suicide prevention program in the schools called Signs of Suicide, and that's been a program that has good data behind it that we've been providing for a number of years in both Crawford County and Marion County. And we are also doing some additional training called QPR, which stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. That's a shorter training. It's only about an hour that you can go through, and it covers really the basics of how you can engage someone that you might be concerned with, who might be exhibiting some concerning behaviors that require some attention. But, you know, really it's all about helping people understand, you know, what to say and not say, and what the things are to look for that would be concerning. But so we want to do what we can to prevent, but we also want to provide support to individuals who do lose family and friends due to suicide.
Right. How does one respond to a possible suicidal telephone call?
Well, I think if you use the QPR framework, it starts with asking that direct question, and I think a lot of people are concerned that if they ask someone, if they express that concern and they ask them if they are considering taking their life, that they would be in some ways influencing that. And really what we have found over the years is that that's not really the case. It's actually the opposite of that. A lot of individuals who, you know, are, you know, having that suicidal ideation or starting to have those thoughts are really feeling very isolated and alone. And so when somebody asks that direct question, that does kind of begin to build a bridge and help them have connection to someone. And, you know, then from there, it's you know, getting them kind of talking a little bit more about the situation at hand and how they can be helped, and then getting them to, you know, professionals, crisis services, and potentially emergency services if need be, to make sure that they get the help that they need. But that's a very kind of brief overview of what to do. And certainly we do, as you mentioned, we have our crisis lines. We have the old care line, which is still around, which is 383-2273. We also have our crisis text line, which is available at by texting 4HOPE to 741-741. But those are additional resources that we do provide to the community as well.
Well, that's good, Brad. And I was, you know, thinking, did you ever think that you would be working with these type of numbers, or that the Adam H. Board would have to go through all these different, I say, avenues, like directions? And I know this is probably an unprecedented time in everybody's life.
Yeah, and like we talked earlier, it's, you know, COVID has really kind of changed the game and made things more desperate, in a manner of speaking. You know, we had some challenges before. I think it's fair to say, as two relatively small counties, you know, we weren't seeing, you know, the types of people going into our workforce, behavioral health, whether it be, you know, social work or chemical dependency or professional counseling. So, you know, that was before COVID hit. And, you know, then once COVID hit, the need just began to be so great. People who, you know, generally had the ability to cope with things, for lack of a better term, or lack of a better way to describe it, kind of began to feel more, I think, exposed. And I think, frankly, we were all impacted to a certain extent by this.
Oh, yes.
And I think the other challenge was that, you know, normally when you have a disaster or something happens, it's generally, you know, regionalized or localized. And, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't hit everybody at once. But that was the thing with COVID. It wasn't just a Marion County thing or a Crawford County thing or North Central Ohio or just Ohio. It was the whole, you know, country and the whole world that was really being impacted.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. Entire world.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fear based in that COVID-19. People were just afraid, and fear impacts people a totally different way.
Yes, I would agree.
Than anything else, you know, and we just had to, you know, get about our wits, because you can't walk around like that in fear, because you'll do, like you said, there will be desperate measures, and you'll do desperate things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the mental health part of that you work on,
mm-hmm.
I know some people are born that way, but is it possible for you to have certain experiences in life and you end up with a mental, you know what I'm trying to say, just disability?
I don't work as directly with the developmental disabilities.
Okay.
And we do occasionally come across individuals who come into the mental health care system who, you know, will have developmental disabilities, and we try to work very closely with the Developmental Disabilities Board and the staff that they have there to try to help partner and figure out how we can work together to serve people.
Wow, somebody's dog is barking.
it's definitely challenging, and you know, we try to work with, fortunately we have good relationships with all the partner agencies. I believe we work well with our court partners. I believe we work well with developmental disabilities and schools and child welfare. So, you know, we try to make ourselves as available and be as supportive as we can be.
Okay. Now, do you work with the probation department? Work along
Yes.
with them?
Yes.
How's that going?
You know, I think the different departments, even though it's probation, it's a little bit different. And, you know, we have different staff sizes, you know, different needs.
Right.
You know, I think there are similarities in terms of the people who, you know, are being supervised by, you know, municipal probation and common pleas probation, general division. You know, there are definitely some needs that we see that are consistent with probationers, and I think we're trying to figure out what is a good way that we can help, you know, help people who have more behavioral health needs as opposed to more criminal justice needs that might require public safety supervision. So, you know, we're working pretty closely right now with the county, and we've got a couple things going on there. We have a project that's called Stepping Up, where we're trying to really focus in on the mental health needs of individuals who come into the criminal justice system, more so because of their mental health or mental illness than necessarily their criminal behavior. And then another thing that we're working on is with the municipal court is trying to determine if there could be a way that we could develop an alternative center for individuals who might have more OBI type offenses and have an option for them to get treatment instead of going to jail and serving out that time there. And I think there's always a balance of, you know, kind of where do you draw that line of, you know, when the treatment is needed more as opposed to there being a legitimate public safety concern and having the requirement of, you know, whether it's prison or jail to have that that option as well.
Right, and I'm glad you are working on that, and it is in a consideration because I agree with you. Not everyone needs to go to prison. It doesn't seem to be fixing or helping anybody. They just really have to have the need and the desire to change their own lives once they go so many times. You know, that system is corrupt. It is really corrupt, and it's an individual thing, but that is so much needed in our society today, because we all realize that is really not the answer for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, may have mental problems, or may be using drugs, may have stolen or something like that, or I understand armed robbery and things like that. I think that, you know, that calls for a punishment, but not everything does. Not every crime.
Right. Right. So hopefully through this process, we'll be able to get a better understanding of how we can work together from the different systems, and that would include probation as well. So if it is somebody who has, you know, a more clear addiction issue or a more clear mental health or mental health and addiction issue, that we're able to get them the help that they need so that they can, you know, kind of get back on or start a recovery process, and then that will help them kind of work through some of the other issues that they may, other issues and challenges that they may face.
Sounds good. Sounds like, excuse me, you're really busy.
It can be.
You work a lot from home now, though, right?
No, we kind of are back in. We do, there will be times where, that happens, but we have to have our the exemption for the Open Meetings Act for all public bodies expired, so now all of our board meetings and everything are back to in person, so we're doing a lot more, and we were open throughout the pandemic. There was just a very short period where you know, we were completely at home, but we've been kind of back doing that for a while now, and I think there's a good bit of telehealth that still occurs with the agencies for persons who want to get their services through the phone or video conference. That's still an option for individuals who are able to do that. But by and large, we've been trying to get back as you know, as safely as we can.
That's good. That's good. I gave the thought for today. I don't know if you were listening to the show. But every second and every moment and every breath of your life is nurtured by attitude. Mm. What do you think the attitude of our country is, or our city is now?
Well, I hope that there's a willingness to reach out and help your fellow man or woman, brother, sister, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity, and you know, from our perspective, I think that, you know, we're constantly looking for ways to improve our system so that we're more accessible to, you know, to families, to individuals, you know, that we're providing timely services, good services, and are being good partners to our other agencies that we work with and, you know, who many times are serving the same people. So that's really kind of what I'm hoping for, and you know, we'll be heading into the holidays here soon, so mm-hmm. There's always, I think, that, you know, extra bit of hopefully peace and goodwill. So hopefully that'll be what we can build on.
That's true. Do you love your job, Brad?
I do. You know, it's like you said, it's taken on a different light because of the complications, but I've always enjoyed helping people, and you know, the people here and both Marion County and Crawford County have been very receptive, and I just appreciate that. And, you know, this isn't the area from whence I came, and, you know, people have just been very, very open and willing to get to know me and try to work together. So I do appreciate that.
We appreciate you too. I'll say that again. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, none of us could have even dreamed this up, the COVID and the things that we're going through nowadays. It's just, and COVID is still around.
It is. And we need to be vigilant and make sure that we're doing, following the recommended courses of action, in my opinion, to make sure that we're, you know, having that ability to take care of ourselves and each other and, you know, make sure that we do have a safe place to work and live.
Did anyone in your family get COVID?
I had it myself.
Did you?
Yeah, I did back in December of last year, end of December, end of January. And I didn't have to be hospitalized, but I definitely did not feel well. And I had some issues with my blood pressure that are still around a little bit periodically from time to time. I did have my youngest son also had it. He, I think maybe some of my other kids did as well, but I had one that was in basic training for the National Guard, and he got it when he was in basic training, and he and I had some similar type of responses when we got to talk to each other about it.
Is he still having any type of complications from it?
Not as bad as it was. He had, and it was him specifically, he had the loss of taste and smell. I did not experience that. The problem I had primarily was related to elevated blood pressure, mm-hmm. and like really elevated. And, you know, I've been on medication. I don't mind sharing that for blood pressure for many years. And even with the medication, it was still much higher than it is ordinarily. So, it's gone down. It's much more normal, much more regular and consistent. And, you know, there's a few times where I will catch a few flare-ups of things, but by and large, it's not anything as acute as it was back then.
Good. Yes, that's good. We've lost a couple relatives to COVID in our family.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them didn't have a vaccination, and then they say some have it, and still the outcome wasn't good. You know, I don't know. I just kind of gave up on trying to influence people to take, you know what I'm saying, take the vaccine or take a flu shot or something, you know. So I just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely the variant that has come out has definitely proven that there's a lot of risk. And, you know, there are people who may say, well, people who've been vaccinated still get it. And I think from what we've seen, that is true. But I also have believed that that same data would indicate that the outcomes aren't as severe for those individuals who have been vaccinated and still get it. So, you know, hopefully the people who elect to not be vaccinated will, you know, kind of follow the guidelines and do what they need to do to help keep themselves and others safe.
I hope so. I mean, because that is the goal, should be, you know, is to worry about other people, and then worrying about other people and trying to keep them safe, you in turn, you know, keep yourself and your family safe too. So,
right.
I guess one hand shakes the other hand, right?
It's definitely a balance for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what are your future aspirations? Because we're looking right at 2022 right now.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things we're going to work on in 2022 and 2023 is updating our housing for individuals with mental health. We have a project that we're looking at doing that would update the housing. You know, we had a number of houses in Marion and a couple in Crawford, and those were older buildings when the board renovated them, and I think a lot of them have kind of outlive their useful life. So we're thinking about what makes the most sense for a project that would provide good and modern housing for individuals with mental health. And that's kind of one of the big things we'll be working on definitely in in 22. I'm eager to get that started because that will increase our access and help provide people a good place to stay. And it's just something that I've been interested in since I've been here, and I'm glad that I finally can, you know, look at something that can, and the board can, you know, be behind something that is going to help do that. So that's going to be one of the big things. The suicide support is another. The mental health in the jails is another. And, you know, I want to continue to try to get people, the agencies that are out providing services, to coordinate and collaborate with their other agencies and the other systems as best they can. So those are kind of some big picture things that I would like to see kind of begin to take place and work on as we go into 22.
Well, looks like, sounds like you have a lot to work forward towards, you know, and
yeah,
like you said, helping other people get back on their footing. And housing is a good thing, and that seems to be something that's growing in Marion. I've heard of different people.
Yes.
That are going in this same line. Now, are these homes temporary, or are they for families or just individuals?
So the large project that we're looking at is going to be for individuals, and it will be for more long-term stays. So we are, I think, kind of the next phase of that would be looking at more along the lines of something for families, because there are a lot of families who are disrupted. Sometimes they get involved in the child welfare system and lose custody, and so as they're kind of rebuilding, you know, there's a need to have a place to stay where they can begin to reintegrate with their family members. And so that's one of the things that is not far off on the horizon that I would like to see as well. And one of the other projects that I forgot to mention that we're collaborating with is back when former Governor Kasich was leaving office, we got some, or at least Marion County was targeted for some additional funding to help with like the Boys and Girls Clubs and different groups like that. So we're also going to be working with them in 22 as well as a potential partner to help upgrade facilities and things like that. So that was one that I did neglect to mention. But I would say other than that, the family recovery housing is kind of next on the horizon as the next big project that I would see.
Wow, much needed project. Mm-hmm. So the houses won't be sold like transitional, like I've heard people say, well, they come in for 30 days and move on. But, you know, that's not really a lot of time for anybody to change anything about their life, like 30 days, you know.
Yeah, in some cases you may have individuals who do need a shorter stay. They may just have some different things going on that would, you know, make it that way. And then, but others, you're right, they do need a longer period of time, a longer time to stabilize. And so my goal is that, you know, maybe in the 3 to 5 year range, we can have a full continuum of housing where, you know, it goes from short term to long term and can accommodate families and individuals. I won't say equally because I don't know that we can ever get to that point, but at least that there will be more accessibility and availability.
True. And, you know, when you consider people and what they have gone through during this, I don't know even how long, because even Jody DeMahages, she was good and she was on her game also, and that's when it was really begin to be on the rise, you know, and she worked hard and diligently, as well as mm-hmm. you, Brad, and it just continues to progress. But so aren't the agencies, you know, your hard work and your compassion for other people, and it's so much mm-hmm. needed. And when you think about the families that have just been torn apart because of this, their children, and then that brings in the children's home too, possibly, right?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Jody was certainly a well-respected, and Jody was a force, and mm-hmm. you know, she made a lot of good happen. And you know, we're kind of have some not different thoughts, but different approaches to things. And you know, it's the one thing I will say was, you know, she left things in a very good place, and I think that was a good sign of stewardship on her part. And, you know, I'm just trying to kind of carry that similar work forward and try to, again, maximize the people that we can. But, you know, ultimately, you know, we want to try to keep, you know, kids out of the system, you know, try to focus on prevention, work with our school partners and get services to them so that they can make good choices and be able to be accountable, not just to themselves, but to their peers as well. So it's really important that youth-led prevention, you know, is in the schools and people understand it and are participating. So, yeah, it's definitely we want to keep an eye on preventing as much of this problem as we can.
That's good. And thank you for taking that baton that she handed you, and you just keep on running with it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on running for a little while longer until my knees give out or something along those lines.
Oh, you got a lot of miles left in you yet.
I hope. I hope the cartilage holds up, but we'll hope for the best.
Yes, I'm hoping with you, okay?
Okay.
And thank you so much for spending time with us today. Thank you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Linda. Take care.
Thank you. You too,
bye
Brad.
Now.
God bless. Bye. Brad DeCamp, everybody. He's a trooper. He's a hard worker. And he's here working very hard for this community and surrounding communities. Who would have ever thought we'd be in a place like this today? But thank God that we do have people who care. They care about the outcome of not just the city and, because this is our city and this is our county. It's not so much that. It's about the individuals and bringing families back together. Wow. That's really great, and that's really big. Thank you once again, Brad. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Again, my name is Linda Sims. The name of this program is called A Voice of a People. And don't forget, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh107.1 FM radio. And you can still download that free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. And you can also call in during the live show, 740-383-9944. Well, Lord bless and say the same. We will be having candidates night Thursday evening from here at 523 South Prospect Street. It begins at 7 p.m. here at the radio station.
And you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The talking place for people like legendary comedian Shecky Green talking about meeting legendary talk show host Ed.